What are your biggest challenges right now?
I think because a lot of programs aren't aligned, and by programs, I mean like universities, any master's program, right? We're going to get a lot of different experiences and a lot of different mindsets, right? And so I think one of the more challenging things for us is, and it was difficult for me as well, is kind of to unlearn all of the things that we learned coming up in education, like balanced literacy, right?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Bianca Baccariso, and she is the assistant principal and director of literacy and special education instruction. That's a mouthful, at Central Queens Academy Charter, and that's in Elmhurst, New York. Bianca, it's so great to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me and for reaching out. It was great to get the email from you, Janet.
Awesome. And I understand that you are working on your PhD, so congratulations for that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm going to Fordham University here in New York. It's the Innovative Curriculum and Instruction Program. And basically, there are different tracks. Right now, my track is going to be transliteracy and with a touch of special education in there. Honestly, all I want to do is be able to not just understand what's going on out there, but also to be part of the change and the direction that we need to go in as educators moving forward in here.
That is fantastic because it is changing so fast.
Sure
so fast. Yeah, for sure. And tell us a little bit about your role right now at Central Queens Academy.
Yeah. Okay, so I started as the assistant principal : director of literacy. And that was about 2 years ago. And I came in, it was called expeditionary learning for our literacy program for both skills and for modules. And I automatically said that there were just some things within the program itself that didn't lend to the needs of our students and the needs of our teachers to make a lot of growth for our kids. And so I came from another charter network, Empower, and my director of literacy actually came over to Central Queens Academy this year, which has been great to see her again. But she introduced me to the science of reading. And as a special educator, it was really difficult to teach literacy in the classroom, especially with our kids with disabilities. And so as soon as I got introduced to CKLA, which is a sounds first approach, which is a lot different than other skills programs out there where they would just kind of like inundate all students with, this is the letter A. This is what it looks like to be uppercase. This is what it looks like to be lowercase. This is what the sound it makes. This is the name of it. And so all of that put together just put too much cognitive load on our students with disabilities. And it was so difficult to get them to like memorize everything that they needed to know. And once I started teaching that, I noticed that the population that needed extra support shrunk down. And even with that, we didn't have to fully go back to the beginning. We just had to build those foundational skills. And so when I was in my last year of teaching, I was in a kindergarten classroom and I had a group of about 5 students in my classroom. And because I was able to go back with them doing the sounds first approach, I noticed such a significant difference and set them up so much more than I ever have previously. And so for me, being hired as director of literacy, seeing that growth and what kids are capable of, especially we have a high population of English language learners and we have a good mix of students with disabilities and some of them are both, right? So we just want to make sure that we're giving our students the best that we can give them. And we're noticing such a difference in the school, right? Still have kids who need extra support, but it's not as dire as it has been in my classrooms myself. And so we started with that program, CKLA, last year. And now that we are in our second year, we're noticing a huge difference in the caliber of the work ethic, the independence that we are trying to build in our students. We're noticing how much the impact of this work can be in our classrooms. Right. And so as far as skills and foundational skills go, we are in a really great place as a school. And we still have more to go, right? We have comprehension that we need to tackle, and something that I came from in other charter schools. This charter school was FNP, Fontes and Pinal, and I never really connected with it because it didn't give me enough data to support my students. And I'm very data driven. So if you give me like, okay, so I noticed that this student needs exactly this, I can build from there so that I can make sure that they obtain that goal. We're currently using a program that's no longer in existence from UChicago STEP. However, we started with them last year. They were fully funded still. And then this year we just stayed with them so we can build a better comprehensive plan for our students and for our teachers, because the difference between instructional moves that our teachers were doing was completely like 180, right? Whereas EL was enough for our teachers, where they're reading books and it's like, okay, so what happened? What happened next? What happened after that? What happened? And I'm like, but where's the rich conversation? And so with STEP, we are breaking down fiction books in a way where they were talking about character motivation or perspective, how feelings change across time, character traits, and we're getting that data so that we can make actions to support each individual student in our schools. So with that program no longer being around, we're kind of in a space of like, what do we need? What did this data give us so that we can continue on this trajectory? And so we're in the process of creating something more in-house, not for like to report to our board members or to show this great data on our website. It's more so for us, right? Like, we're going to move into progress monitoring for next year. And that needs to be constant for our kids. Like, just talk to them, see where they're at, talk to them, see where we're at. And one thing I'm noticing is that when we use that oral data from our students and we actually keep track of that oral data, we are going to be able to make so much more of an impact in their learning and build critical thinkers for our students. And that's what we want. That's the end goal here, because the science of reading is a buzzword now, right?
Right.
Not every program is built equally. We found a great foundational skills program and we're really happy with it. Now we have to move into like, okay, so we can't just think about these basic character problem solution lesson learned. We have to dig deeper so we could be metacognitive in our learning and in our teaching. And so that's kind of where we're at right now as a school, and the growth that we've made, our educators in general, like, has been great. And so it's just to keep that moving for our scholars here. I'm really excited to see how much more we can shift. And that's part of the reason why I went back to school, is because I want to be in the know. I want to do the research myself to be able to make these changes within our schools and hopefully later on beyond.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about developing something that could be something long term, right?
Right.
And that's how education changes, is because people like you are willing to do the work to figure out what works. And that's good for you. Kudos to you. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't going to go that route. We were researching a lot of different programs, assessment programs out there, and none of them just fit the bill, right? Like, we have progress monitoring and data tracking through our skills program, but we don't have it on the comprehension front. And so that's the next step for us here.
Good for you. Good for you. That's fantastic. And the kids will benefit for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the first program, you said that the name of it, but can you say it again for me just a little bit slower so I can make sure that our listeners get it? Because I was like, I think I got it, but I want to make sure.
All right. They're currently EL, but prior to that, they were expeditionary learning.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure, because I was like, you know, it's one of those things where you just want to, and some people will be watching and some people will be listening, and, you know, and especially if you're listening in the car, it's like, oh, I'd have to go back and, you know, catch that again. Yeah. And that's the speech therapist in me. I always want to be clear, right?
Understood. Yeah. Sometimes I just tend to ramble.
No, I think it's fantastic. I think you guys are doing. So tell me a little bit more about the school. Like, where did it start? How long has it been there? Those kinds of things. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we're Central Queens Academy. We actually started as a middle school.
A middle school.
Yes. And so they were well established. And about 4 years ago, our principal, Michelle Fearman, she came on to create the elementary school. And so this is our fourth year in existence, my third year here. And so we have a lot of English language learners, like I said earlier, and we have a lot of, we're in Queens, and Queens is like the most diverse city in the world.
Yeah.
And so, and I grew up here, and I grew up a few blocks away from here. And so this is kind of like coming back home for me. And that's what really brought me to this school. I think as far as charter schools go, we're unlike a lot of the ones that I've been to prior to this. There is a lot of joy if you walk into our classrooms. There is a lot of learning that it's happening, and our teachers are really, like I said earlier, they've just come a long way since I first got here. And being here at Central Queens Academy has shifted even the way I'm thinking about learning and teaching myself. And so, and we have the freedom to do that, right? So then we're in our fourth year. We just opened another elementary school. And so we're going to start, and we're sharing a building right now. They're going to move to another location, but they're moving into a middle school once that happens. They get a few years down the road. And then from there, our school director, Glenn Liebeck, he's great. He wants to funnel those students into a high school eventually. And we actually, the next year, are starting a pilot program, CQA Next. It is basically school. You're working and you're attending school at the same time. We have my director of literacy that I mentioned earlier, Krista Yan. She actually is spearheading that program with my school director. And they're currently accepting applications for students. It's a master's program. They're going to, all students that go through our program are going to go graduating with a master's and getting their certificate, special education and general education as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're really excited to start that.
So they graduate from high school with that, or they go beyond?
No, this is a master's program.
Okay. So these are graduates from high school, college graduates.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, how do you get a master's from high school? Lost me for a minute, obviously.
The high school is being funneled through from our middle school, and then CQA Next is a different program.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, okay.
We're pretty ambitious.
So you're creating a program that's going to help bring more educators into your school.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic. So are they partnering with an accredited college currently?
Yep, they're partnering with Toro College, which is another program that a lot of charter school teachers kind of go through. And so they've been gracious enough to partner with us, and it's going to be our staff is going to be the adjunct professor, and they're going to work with us and come and help train our teach our.
What a great idea. That's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. Because then, you know, you're creating your own workforce, right?
And our teachers are happy here, so.
Well, and saving the cost of all of that, too. It's expensive going to school. And living in New York is not cheap. I lived there a long, long time ago, but I did live in Westchester County. I actually got my bachelor's from Dobbs Ferry, Mercy College in Dobbs Ferry, New York. So and New York has a special place in my heart. Was a long, long time ago, but it was super, super place to live. So good friends still there. So yeah, so fantastic. That's really neat. I love the fact that it sounds like there is a lot of forward thinking, a lot of let's not live in the past. Let's make sure that we're doing things that are going to make a difference for the future.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good job. Good job for you guys. Kudos to you. Kudos to your team. Good job. That's fantastic. Okay, so challenges, what are your biggest challenges right now?
I think because a lot of programs aren't aligned, and by programs, I mean like universities, any master's program, right? We're going to get a lot of different experiences and a lot of different mindsets, right? And so I think one of the more challenging things for us is, and it was difficult for me as well, is kind of to unlearn all of the things that we learned coming up in education, like balanced literacy, right? Like that was a huge thing. That's where FNP came from. That's where Reader's Workshop came from. And this idea that we're memorizing, right? And it took about a year for me to kind of like convince our teachers here that the sounds first approach actually makes a bigger difference than what we were doing in the past, right? And so it's also hard because you need time to be able to really fully develop a great literacy program. And so it's kind of hard, especially me, because I'm such a like big thinker. I'm like, here's the end goal.
Right.
And everybody has to tell me, Bianca, slow down. This is a 3-year plan. Why do you want to do this in 1 year? Right.
Right.
So I've learned myself how to kind of expand on what I want and really break it down. And what I do, I tend to do is I utilize a lot of the teachers in the school and get their opinions on what they need so that I can help develop this program in conjunction with them. And that's where I'm building that buy-in, because buy-in is a very difficult thing to get from educators, especially when they're like, no, well, the book is telling me to say this. Mm. And I'm like, but the book is wrong. So we got to figure out how
we
to
have
do
a better
this
way. Let's show you a better way. And then the data will help them to see. And honestly, they're going to see it in the kids. That's where the biggest buy-in is, when you see a change, I think, in the students and what the students are capable of doing. That's when you go, oh, wait, look at that. It's working. And getting their feedback, you know, that allows them to have ownership of what you're doing. And that's a huge piece of it too. You know, can't, it's just like me, I started this company on my own, and I tell people, I'm like, I have a lot of really smart people that make me look smart. You know, they make me look better, because I always use the analogy that starting a business and being an entrepreneur is like a juggler spinning a whole bunch of plates. And the one that's wobbling is the one that gets the attention, right? So finances are wobbling, deal with that. Clinical's wobbling, deal with that, you know, and I've given all of those plates away to somebody who's smarter than me. And so now I get to do this. I get to do a podcast, and I get to talk to really smart people and yet still have a business where we're serving kids just like you guys are. We have 2,500 kids this year. So it's a beautiful thing. And I could not do it without the amazing people that work at Lighthouse. So it's the same thing what you're talking about. So
yeah. And we have a lot of great minds here as well. And so just kind of like walking into classrooms and seeing what's great about our school and where we're at. And you said it earlier, like the data speaks to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have some really great teachers who know how to utilize that data. Last year, we created a rubric for narrative writing, narrative reading and informational reading, right? And so this year, we didn't get too deep into the informational because we wanted to make sure that we were just working with what we got. And so like we have the trajectory of like K through fourth grade. This is what the main idea would look like, the author's message from kindergarten all the way through fourth grade. And so I mentioned we use STEP earlier. And so one thing that I had the teachers do, which I think was really impactful for a lot of our classrooms, was we looked at what the students said, we typed everything up, and then we get to look at it, and then we get to like think about their answers a little bit more critically. It's like, how are they responding? Are they responding like a kindergartner where it's more factual, or are they in fourth grade talking like a second grader right now? Mm. And we use that rubric to list what our kids had to work on and give them goals on how to get better at it. And because of that, this round, we have classrooms that really use that data that made the most growth. And the conversations that they're having with the kids, we have students who've grown like 6 levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
In one since March. And that to me makes a huge difference, because like, why would I want to get rid of something that actually like helps my teachers feel the success in their classroom?
Right.
And so just modeling and thinking in a way where this progress monitoring that we're going to be doing next year is the data that we're collecting consistently to be able, and cyclically to be able to see where were they then and where are they going to be and how are we going to get them there? Because once we know the data, we know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Bianca, you're going to change the world. You're working so hard and doing such amazing things. The impact that you're going to have over your career to the kids that you get to touch their lives. I always say we get to work with them. It's a privilege. But boy, I see your passion, and I see a person who really cares about their teachers and their kids and making a difference in the world through what you do. So keep up the good work. I'm just so impressed by you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I've been doing this for 31 years. You know, I've been around and seen a lot of people, and there's a lot of and that's why Brighter Together exists. Mm-hmm. We want to highlight the amazing educators that are out there. There are so many people out there, and the world is brighter when we do it together, right? I mean, that's why we're brighter together, right? But it really matters. And getting that message out there that there are people that care about kids and that there are schools that are fighting the battle every single day, you know, that matters. It really matters. Yeah, so
absolutely.
So keep it up. All right. So I have one last question.
Sure.
And I try to ask everybody. I don't always ask everybody, but and it can't be money. You can't say money, because everybody needs more money. Okay. But if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
But there are so many.
I know.
Challenges.
You have to pick one.
I think right now, like, I've been talking about my director of literacy hat, but now I have the special education instructional coach, which I took on this year, which has been great. And something that I noticed was that we have great general education teachers, and our special education teachers are also amazing. But what I learned from speech and language therapists like yourself, occupational therapists, like, I learned that because those therapists were coming into my classroom and telling me and giving me strategies. One challenge that we're working towards, me and Susan Miller, the director of special education at our school, it's giving our special education teachers strategies to help differentiate in the classroom. And also another challenge that's connected to that is that sometimes the gen ed teacher and the sped teacher, like, feel like they're working in silos when it shouldn't be that. So
inclusion,
what we want is
yeah.
to create more time for the sped and gen ed teacher to kind of come together outside of coaching meetings. Like, this is the vision, right? We want to have all of the ICT teachers in the one space and talking about the data and learning these strategies and doing some professional development with them outside of the professional development they'll get from the school, right? We see that this is something that's super important. And because we're talking about data this year, our ICT classrooms have really amazing growth in their classrooms, right? And so that's what we want to continue to see and build on. And now it's a little challenge. It's like, okay, so let's build some strategies for you to help mm-hmm. to understand how to make this, give access to all of our students who need that support. And once you know how to do that, then the rest of your class is going to benefit. But
right.
now,
yeah.
right, we're going to make a bigger impact on that.
And when you say ICT, for those that don't know what that means, tell us what that acronym is.
Yes, it's the integrated co-teaching model, where we have one general education and one special education teacher in a classroom. All
we love our acronyms in education, and every state's got their own. So I always try to, you know, when I'm like, I want to make sure that everybody knows what we're talking about. So thank you for that. All right. Well, Bianca, it's been a fantastic conversation. Our time went by so fast.
I know.
Where should people go if they want to learn more about you and about your school in Queens?
Yeah. So our school, Central Queens Academy, our website is as easy as that, centralqueensacademy.org. And I can be found on LinkedIn. This is my first, you know, I guess, outing, as you will, in thinking about, like, my future and building on that. So right now I'm just on LinkedIn, but
that's awesome.
It's okay.
Fantastic. Well, thank you once again. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Jen. I appreciate it.
What are your biggest challenges right now?
I think because a lot of programs aren't aligned, and by programs, I mean like universities, any master's program, right? We're going to get a lot of different experiences and a lot of different mindsets, right? And so I think one of the more challenging things for us is, and it was difficult for me as well, is kind of to unlearn all of the things that we learned coming up in education